And then mute the phone. Mute the phone. Okay. Good evening, everybody. Just for the record, tonight about sunset, which is probably around 9 o'clock, the new month comes in, so the energy will change, and we'll go over that because our event is tomorrow night, Wednesday night, because there's 2 days of Rosh Chodesh this month. There usually is for the month of Tammuz because we need as much energy as we can get. L'shem Yehud Kudshav Arichu Ishkinte Bidchilu Urchimu Udchilu Li'avda Shem Yudke Bubavke B'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah. And we're studying from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar, Bereshit A, Section 6, Pasuk 48, which is taking up where we left off yesterday. We all da la bae, korach li askama, hai machloket viada, timoshe begin dila, hawa l'shem shamayim, vilach hayesh li rakara, Dilela Viachesh Ovada Dibreshit Kewan Dechama Moshe Dechawa Machesh Ovada Dibreshit Vehitekacha Ihu Levar Kedem Vayichar Lemoshe Meod. Because of this, Korach did not want Moshe to settle this dispute. It was not for heaven's sake, with pure intentions. He had no respect for the above glory, which is the Shekhinah, and refused to acknowledge the work of creation. This means that he denied the amendment of the central column, settling the dispute between the right and the left in the work of creation. He wanted only the left to govern. As soon as Moshe realized that he was denying the work of creation and being rejected out of holiness, Moshe was much angered. Do I need to explain the incident of Korach?
Yes.
In the desert, it's like the end of the second year. They are about to go into the land, and God allows them, or tells them, depending on the Midrash, to send spies into the land. But the same word for spy is tourist. As a tourist, these are 12 men who are the leaders of the tribe. So they are righteous. They've been studying the Torah, these tourists. They have all the honor of being the prince of the tribes, the various tribes. They're honored, they're considered righteous people, people go to them for advice, people go to them for judgments. They control the tribes. And so these 12 men go into the land, and when they come back on the 9th of Av, which we just talked about, they, 10 of them, say, the land is what you told us, it's filled with milk and honey, but it's also too strong for us. And other language that is considered Lashon Hara, against the land, not against any person. The Midrash and the Talmud explains that their motivation was when people went into the land, they would lose their authority, because they might still remain as princes of the tribe, but they're the whole, you know. And another Midrash explains that they did this because in the desert, they didn't have to work for anything. They had the manna falling. So all they could do was study Torah. They were always doing spiritual work. And it's easy to be spiritual when you're not in the mud and you're not having to make a living and you're not having to, you know, find food and all the rest of that. The other two, which was Joshua, Ben-Nun, and Caleb, I forget his father's name. These two, also princes of the tribe, reported it honestly and tried to keep the Lashon Hara and have the people recognize that nothing is too strong for God. You've just been seen the 10 plagues 2 years ago. Where are you coming from? So that took place. That was what we read last week. And immediately after that, Korach said, Moshe, and Korach is the cousin of Moshe. He's the head of one of the Levite tribes. Except Moshe didn't appoint him the head. He gave the head of the Levite, that Levite family, to one of his other cousins. And Korach, taking the advice of his wife, said, Moshe, we're all righteous. We're all children of God. Why are you appointing Miriam to be in charge of the women? And why are you appointing Aaron to be the priest? And why are you doing this all this nepotism in your family and ignoring the rest of us, because we're all capable? But that was his outer garment to what his argument really was, which was explained by this Zohar verse, which is saying he was denying the work of creation, and he did not want the central column to come into existence. He did not want to mediate between right and left, which is what the central column does. What is the central column? You have water, which is right column. It's a sharing, it's the highest form of sharing in the physical world. How do we know that? Because water seeks its own level. It will spread out until there's only a few molecules of thickness. And fire is the left column, indicating desire, passion, all of that. How do you put fire and water together? If you put it together, fire overwhelms water and it goes up in steam, right?
Yes.
Or it puts the fire out. There's not really a mediation. What takes a mediation is a pot or something between the two that allows the two to coexist. That's the central column. And this verse is saying, Korach, this section is talking about the firmament, which is the central column. And it's using the argument of Korach with Moshe to give us the metaphors for us to understand that. But it also teaches us that everything that happened in creation also happens in every creation. Also happens in the interactions of people with each other. They have to follow the same patterns that were set up in creation. Not that they have to, that's just the way the system works. So, verse 49. Vayachar l'moshe al diachuchu le'ya tilaskem ahu machloket meod ad acheshu ovada divreshit v'uv kola achet shlok korach v'eila uv kata tiktiv b'chat sotam al Hashem hatata v'eila v'al da'itabek. And Moshe was much angered because Korach and his company refused to acknowledge him and did not allow him to settle the dispute. It is written much, which is the word meod, because they denied the acknowledgement of the work of creation. So Korach denied everything above in Zeranpin and below in the souls, as it is written. When they strove against Hashem, which is the secret of Zeranpin, for the damage that he did reached both above to Zeranpin and down to Moshe. Therefore Korach cleaved on to what he deserved. He reached Gehinnom, as it is written. They went down alive into Sheol. Any questions? Now, we're reading this section during the week of Korach, because this coming Shabbat we read Korach. And as I discussed briefly yesterday, on Shabbat, the reading of Korach is, there's a verse there where it says that Moshe said that you would know that God is with me if Korach dies an unnatural death. And you going down alive into hell is an unnatural death. In essence, Moshe is calling for an earthquake. He separates the guys who were with Korach from the rest of the nation, and there are about 250 people. And the earth opens up underneath them, and they went down. Now, birds is the only place, and it is the place that we as human beings have the opportunity to control all natural disasters in the world. Tsunamis, earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes. They don't have to happen. We can control that if enough of us on that verse meditate that that happens. So when you hear the verse at the reading of the Torah, make it your business to meditate on that. You should ask the reader to stop at that verse beforehand and tell him you want to do a short discussion. Most places the reader laughs at you because it doesn't make, they're not mystical and they don't understand what we're talking about.
Yeah, that is the verse, that's in the Bible verse.
It's, I don't know the verse number, but it's, I think it's verse, no, it's in Bamidbar, it's in Numbers.
Numbers.
It's in Numbers chapter 16 or 17.
Okay.
It's probably chapter 16, and it's like verse...
Okay.
You'll find it, because it's talking... If you read the English, you'll see the verse where it says that the earth, that they went into... The earth opened up, and they went into down and alive into Sheol. When you see that verse, that's where you want to stop.
Okay.
So, that's what... Now, this is happening. This verse from the Zohar is explained, just continuing the discussion, but it's really saying that you need the central column. You need a balance point between the right and the left. They have to be mediated because, as the moon said when the fourth day of creation, how can you have two kings? And so the moon diminished herself, meaning she lost her light. And the modern science is saying, that, you know, many billions of years ago, when the moon was first created, the moon, there was a section of the moon that blew out and dissipated all the inner energy. They don't know what that means, but it's really referring to the moon diminishing herself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the truth is, you can have two kings. They just have to be willing to mediate with each other. How do I know that, and why do I say that? Because there are two Mashiachs.
Mm-hmm.
There's Mashiach ben Yosef or Ephraim, and there's Mashiach ben David. And they each have their particular strengths to bring to the community and to bring into the world.
Oh, wow, I just got what you said.
So you can have two kings, but in our world prior to Mashiach, you can't. And that's what Moses was in control. Korach was vying for power.
Yeah.
And what do human beings do in those situations? One tries to overcome the other. But Moshe was trying to reconcile it. He was trying to take Aaron and Korach and find a way to... So he took, you know, he took 12 of the 12 leaders bring their own staffs, and he put it in the temple, the tent of meeting, it's called, the Mishkan, and the almond tree grew out of the staff that had been built. But it was only staff. The other 11 didn't do anything. Clearly a sign that Hashem is in favor of Aaron being the priest. But Korach still wouldn't accept that and continued to push the conflict. Verse number 50. On the conference call, are there any questions?
No, that's okay. Thank you.
I'm just recognizing you're there, Batya.
Right, I just got in. I'm sorry, I'm late.
Not a problem.
Thank you. Machlok
is the Yitzaken begat kegavna dile la v'salek v'la nachet v'it kayem v'orach v'shar da machloket v'shamay v'chilel v'kadosh baruch hu afresh Bainai hu be'az ke'en lom v'daha wa machloket l'shem shemayim v'shamayim afres machloket be'ad itkayem v'daha wa ke'gavna di'ovada divreshit v'korach be'ovada divreshit Achesh bekola uflugta deshamayim hawa uva leachasha mile dioraita vaday veita bekuta degehinom hawa wealda itabak bechadeya. Another dispute was settled according to the above. A dispute that rose and did not come down and was based on decency was that between Shammai and Hillel. Shammai was the aspect of the left on high, while Hillel was the aspect of the supernal lot right. And the Holy One, blessed be He, intervened between them and approved of them. This means that the differences and arguments between Shammai and Hillel reach them from the central column of above, which is the secret of the Holy One, blessed be He. This was a dispute for the sake, for the name of heaven. And the heavens and Zeron Pin reconciled this dispute to establish both. Because of this, their illuminations continue to exist. This dispute is like the work of creation. It is similar to what the central column achieved for the sake of establishing the work of creation. But Korach denied the establishing of the work of creation, and the dispute was toward the heavens, namely Zeron Pin, that is the reconciling column, and he wanted to deny the principles of the Torah, which is Zeron Pin. Assuredly, this dispute and denial was the result of the efforts of Gehinom, and its power of judgment cleaved to Korach, and he to it. Thus he fell into Gehinom. Questions?
Gehinom is
hell.
Right. Okay.
There are seven levels of hell. So Sheol is also hell. Sheol is the lowest level of hell that you can't escape. You can escape from, but it's very difficult. There are seven levels of hell. So Sheol, the Gehinom is the name of all of them.
Correct.
Yes. Now, Hillel and Shammai are two teachers of Talmud, they're teachers of Torah, who are quoted in the Talmud, and they always disagreed. Always. They always argued. But their arguments, as this verse is explaining, one represented the left column, one represented the right column, and the reason that they argued is they were looking for truth. They were searching for truth. And heaven said, you're both right. And in the throughout the Talmud, there's the phrases, this and this are the words of the ever-living God.
Okay. They said this.
So they never, and quoted it in the Talmud, are both of them. They're both, their explanations, their logic, everything is there to understand. Then sometimes the halakha, the path that we are told to follow, it goes to one house and sometimes to another house. And the discussion is, how can you reconcile this and this being the words of the ever-living God? How could they both be right? An example is the Hanukkah candles. One says you write 8 candles the first night, 7 the second, 6 the fifth, the third, 4 the fourth, 3, you know, down. The other one says you light 1 candle the first night, 2 the second. How do you reconcile this? The halakha says follow 1 candle the first night, 2 candles the second night, and so forth. But after Mashiach comes, we'll start the other way and do the 8 candles and the 7 candles.
Right.
There are many mystical reasons why between these. But this is the issue. They were both right. They're both correct. We will follow their directions at both, you know, at both times.
Does this have anything to do with, like, looking at it as dualities? Is it like you said, left and right, or in and out, opposites? Opposites, that's the word.
They are opposites, yes.
So they're equal.
Equal and opposite, and because the reason for arguing was to find truth. And how do you find truth? Binding by striking. You bring the two sides together, and as they push each other away, they get bound together because they're looking for truth. That is the source throughout creation. That's why the electricity works the way it does. It's why binding by striking works the way it does. It's the, you know, it's the way the Creator works, because his initial action is called consume. And it's essentially a paradox. God is everywhere, but he withdrew within himself. So he's no longer here. But he's living here. How can that be? So it's a paradox. Let's read one more verse. Wiraza dabasifra di adam hoshekka itar itar betupeya uvrabeya gehinum beitabak bechadeya behahu machloko devan deshake. Rugza v'tupa itar machloket kegavnad achara machloket dirchimu. This secret appears in the Book of Adam. When darkness was aroused to take control, it emerged in all its might and created Gehinom. And Gehinom cleaved to it in its dispute. As the anger and the might of the Gibboroth were calmed down, the dispute was aroused in a different manner, as a dispute of love. Any questions?
So the byproduct is love because of the dispute.
No. The dispute is love. has the anger and the might of the Givorot, the left column, which is also called darkness, calmed down. The dispute continued, but in a different manner, as a dispute of love.
Okay. Transform.
The dispute isn't a dispute. They're searching for truth. A couple are married and they argue.
Yeah.
They argue over their children. Are they angry with their children? Is one angry and the other not? Sometimes they are. The one that's angry gets calmed down by the one who's not. But then they start talking about what's the best thing to do for the children. Why did the parent get angry? The children must have done something. How do you teach them? How do they grow? What is the best thing for the children? That's a dispute in love, because one wants to do something more strict or more, you know, one way, and the other one wants to do something else. But they're searching for truth. They're searching for what's best for the children. That's a dispute from love. Any other questions? I'll be teaching tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 Central, 8 Mountain, 7 West Coast. It will be a class on advanced reincarnation. It will be explaining what Aaron's, the source of Aaron's soul. It will be explaining what Eliyahu's soul came from. It will be explaining why Avihu and Nadav and Avihu died. It's a very good class, depending on how far we get. There's enough there for a few classes. So feel free to call in, and we'll speak to you all then. Have a beautiful evening, and remember that Kodesh starts in a few hours. Shalom.
Okay, shalom. Thank you.
You take care, Michael.